Welcome to ASME TechCast, where we bring you the innovators, innovations, and issues that push the envelope of engineering. My name is John Kozowatz, Senior Editor of Mechanical Engineering Magazine at ASME.org. There's no doubt that technical expertise is essential for engineering students looking for their first job or for early career engineers looking to take the next step in their careers. But getting the job and being successful require more than that. And today we're talking with Matt Ischler, and he is Associate Director of Career Counseling at Penn State University. And we're talking on the career skills needed to enter the workforce and to stay there. Matt has more than 20 years of working with students. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much, John. I'm pleased to be here.
Well, we're glad that you're here too. So you've been working with students, with engineering students, for a long time now. Have they, or their attitudes, expectations, have they changed a great deal over that time? How do you describe the budding student engineer?
Sure. I think while I have seen some changes, you know, the general desire to learn and to move into a professional realm has remained consistent across my 20 years. I would describe the budding engineer as someone who enjoys project-based work, enjoys taking things apart, putting them together, figuring out how they work. I think those types of attributes, that strong level of curiosity, interest in math and science, have remained strong over time. And in recent years, I've seen increasing trends in terms of students' interests in entrepreneurship, in leadership positions, in not just planning for that first position following college or university graduation, but following that. How does my career unfold over time? And how can I build the knowledge of business and leadership and communication and team management to really focus on growing and building one's career over the next 30 or 40 years?
What is the first or the earliest question an engineering student has in entering a job or succeeding in a job?
I think the earliest questions are, what are the expectations placed upon me and how do I meet or exceed those expectations? I think that coming from the university or the college environment, there is a frame of I want to know what's expected. And in the university, that comes through a syllabus or a project description or a set of parameters for an exam. In the workplace, there may be less specific outlines. There's not a syllabus provided necessarily. There may be a project outline. And you may immediately find yourself in a team-based environment. So learning, how do I navigate and collaborate with the different relationships and members of a team in the workplace is also something that students are learning, certainly during their time at the university, but also are facing early in their career. How do I learn the work styles, the work expectations? And certainly there's an adjustment of time where students may have more ownership over how they schedule their project and work time as students. In the workplace, they may face more stringent deadlines or work schedules or expectations around provide an update in a week or in a few days. So those things can tend to change as well, John.
So these soft skills, as they're generally referred to, of course, technical expertise is a must for an engineering student. But when it comes to the softer skills, is there any kind of a pecking order on what's more involved or what's more important than another? Problem solving is certainly big. Communication skills. You just mentioned a collaborative workplace, for instance, teamwork.
Yes.
How do they all fit together?
Boy, I think each of those are essential, John, and it may depend a little bit on the unique setting and the role that a new engineer is in terms of how they fit together. But I think you've named several of the core essential skills. Communication is essential. Being willing to communicate verbally, being comfortable communicating in writing, Certainly email and internet-based communication is used heavily across almost every workplace. So communicating ideas, questions, but also presenting your ideas verbally, whether it's in a roundtable discussion with colleagues or in a formal presentation to managers and supervisors, employers do want to see those strong communication skills. They also want to see a level of teamwork of how do you reach out and collaborate with others. There was a time in my career where employers were seeking students with the strongest GPAs. Help us locate on your university campus the brightest students that we could hire and bring in for these engineering roles. And that has really shifted. I would say that shift occurred, 15 to 18 years ago in terms of employers seeking candidates with applied experiences, whether that's through internships, class projects, student organization involvement. And in the engineering realm, the preference is to see that involvement be on engineering projects and tasks, but there also is some understanding that when engineers step out of that engineering college or frame of courses, they build skills through their interdisciplinary environments as well. And many of those occur through the co-curricular activities, those leadership development activities on campus, the community service programs, perhaps the Greek life organizations on campus, perhaps student advocacy and volunteer efforts and student government. These types of environments are tremendous platforms for students to develop skills they may not use every day in the classroom, but can really make them well-rounded students and certainly well-rounded new professionals as well.
Now, you mentioned verbal skills a little earlier, and this generation that's coming up has grown up with computers and with emails and texting. It's second nature to them. How do you see their verbal skills in developing in relation to that?
I think this is going to be a greater emphasis for my own work in the Career Center at Penn State and for career centers across the country. I think providing students with platforms to express themselves verbally, to engage in conversation, is a necessary tool. I think there is perhaps somewhat of a reliance on technology and instant messaging and email and texting, and they're very proficient with that. But when I meet with students, sometimes there's a challenge in them articulating their strengths, their interests, their goals, their career ideas and values. So that's something we practice through a variety of role plays, mock networking events, and we strive to prepare students for when they do get the chance to meet with employers to present themselves in a very professional and practiced way, to communicate the range of experience and accomplishments they've had at the university, and to ask questions, to draw out information from the employer that will help the student meaningfully make a decision of whether to accept or decline an internship or a full-time employment opportunity. But yes, John, I think there is a need for students and new professionals to continue to develop and practice their verbal communication skills.
Let's switch this over to technical skills for a bit. Engineering students are being taught, besides the standard subjects in their discipline, but they're getting into things now such as artificial intelligence and machine learning. How can they combine some of these softer career skills with these technical skills?
Sure. I think that's a great question, and it points really at the heart of what we're talking about here. I would strive for students to seek out opportunities to learn, and through when there's a topic in a class that's presented by a professor, a faculty member, an instructor, and it sparks a curiosity in that student, I would encourage that student to meet with that faculty member in their office hours, to take that interest and curiosity to that faculty member and have a conversation. Now, if I say that to many students, some will react with a feeling of sheer terror. I have to meet in person with someone and have a verbal conversation with them about something, but really focusing on that shared interest, that common connection of this topic was brought up in class, and I want to learn more about it. And then from there, seeking opportunities to engage in experiences outside of the classroom. It may be independent study. It may be a sponsored research project. At many universities, faculty are willing to open their research interests and work to students, certainly at the graduate level, but also at the undergraduate level, to students who take the time and dedicate the effort to express the importance of that opportunity to them. So students can proactively seek out opportunities to be involved in things like artificial intelligence, machine learning. And in order to fully open those opportunities, it requires some comfort with these soft skills we're talking about, such as communication, advanced planning of one's experience, time management, teamwork, and showing initiative to say, there's a goal here that I want to work toward. I'm coming to you, faculty member or advisor, to help me to find ways to meet this goal that I have. And at universities like Penn State, and I'm sure many others, there are wonderful opportunities outside of the classroom to get involved in artificial intelligence initiatives and projects, machine learning activities. But this mainly is available to students that proactively seek them out. So that message of being active in noting your own interests, in reaching out and having conversations about them, are skills you learn in the university that, in my view, directly translate into your early career foundation as being critical elements of success. Being able to know in your workplace, who are the mentors and the people that I can turn to and express interest, curiosity, share a possible solution to a problem or challenge, to seek feedback on my ideas. These are skills that I believe will equip an engineer for lifetime success.
Well, you mentioned mentorship, and that's a big item. And it's always a standard piece of advice, I guess, is to in succeeding in whatever position you're in, is to find a mentor. But that's easier said than done. And especially with younger students. So how do you motivate them? How do you get them to accept that as a path?
Yeah, to begin with, John, I invite students to think about the power of mentors in their life that have been present already to this point. And generally, students can identify someone who has been somewhat of a role model, somewhat of an accessible person to them when they have questions or challenges or goals. It would be rare that I meet a student that can't identify someone that's played that role to this point in their life. And I think about, you know, what would you like for mentorship moving forward? And recognizing that mentorship is not just, I don't have a mentor, for example, at 2 p.m., but by 2:15 p.m., I have a mentor. It takes time and it takes an investment in building that relationship and sharing ideas. And it may start with showing curiosity and interest in the person, asking about their background, asking someone to share their perspective on, you know, how their career has unfolded. What is their advice or perspective to someone coming out of the university and into the workplace in terms of tips for success? What has been their story of how their career has progressed and unfolded over time? And then moving there into finding ways that the work focus. I think partly mentorships are powerful when there's a shared professional interest or goal. For example, we're working on the same project of, you know, strengthening this engine or this battery or this, you know, technical concept or idea. We're trying to advance this artificial intelligence project. You know, let me pause for a minute from the task at hand and let's set a time where I can just learn a little bit more about you. How did you build skills and knowledge? How do you engage in continued learning? You know, and maybe noting that something that someone else in the engineering team does that's particularly helpful or useful. Wow, when you suggested we make this attempt, that really moved us forward in terms of accomplishing this goal. How did you know to do that? And could we talk about this? And it's like many forms of relationship building. You may hear no more often than you hear yes. But keep trying, keep making the attempt, keep making the effort. Don't get discouraged by that. Keep reaching out. You know, I encourage students, if you hear no, strive to understand no if you're asking about an opportunity. In mentorship and relationship building, you may approach some people that may just not have the time. You know, keep asking. If they don't have time, ask who they might refer. That could be a point of contact for you. I also think professional associations like ASME are wonderful venues for identifying mentors. Now, that may not be a mentor in your direct place of employment, but in terms of meeting people with experience in the realm of engineering, professional associations can serve as a powerful engine for providing that.
There's still a lot of pressure. You know, if you've been in the workplace for a long time, you look back at college with these fond memories of matriculation, but there's a lot of pressure with students too. We've been talking about dealing with burnout on the professional level, but is burnout a real thing with students? How do you deal with that? How do you advise students with dealing with burnout or, you know, build up pressure?
Certainly. John, this is a very timely topic as well. Burnout is real for many people. And you know, at a large university, the number of and array of opportunities can be endless. And students can work themselves to a point of exhaustion, physically and emotionally and psychologically. And we have to be aware of that. And we have to know kind of what's underneath this. Burnout sometimes stems from a source of striving for something that is difficult to recognize in oneself. So what is that element that someone is striving for? And sometimes there's this list of checkboxes that students might present. Well, I need to be involved in this. I need to do this. I need to take this class. I need to study abroad. I need a part-time job. I need to be involved in 5 campus activities. And as I listen to this, I feel my heart begin to race and my blood pressure elevates. And I get a little triggered in terms of feeling a sense of stress and anxiety. And for me, the key is slowing that down and really framing it in terms of larger picture goals. What are we working toward? And how are we making choices about the opportunities we say yes to and the opportunities we may say no to? And is there a need for conversation? If these elements of burnout are coming from someone who's in a supervisory capacity, is there a need, for a conversation about that? For scheduling a time to talk about workload and workload balance? And is there an opportunity to ask for help and to say, hey, since I took on projects A, B, and C, I've added these 4 or 5 other elements as well. You know, I'd like to have a conversation with you about what my workload looks like because I'd like to perform at my best in each of these areas. And I'm feeling some strain to reach that goal. Can we recalibrate together what the goals are? That takes some courage to do, to acknowledge I'm feeling some burnout, takes some courage to do, and it's not always easy. And this is where the importance of management and leadership and sometimes asking a question in the interview process of employers, you know, how do you connect with your employees and how do you balance the workload across the team? And how do you address scenarios where people are perceiving some element of burnout? How is that explored? And how are adjustments made? That kind of interview question can give a candidate for employment insight into the work culture, the management style, the leadership style of that organization, and can know what tools are available to address this. I've worked for several supervisors who often said, you know, the reward for excellent work is more work. So sometimes when we're putting our best efforts in and we're achieving at a high level, more work is directed in that direction. So this is an area, again, where I think at the university level, we sometimes look at this in terms of time management, but professionally, we need to prepare students to think about, as I'm putting forth excellent work, how do I address what might be my own capacity limitations, and how do I advocate and negotiate for additional resources? This is also an element of negotiation. Since I've taken on this project and been working here 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, my level of responsibility on these projects has grown. Is it possible for me to have additional people working with me on these projects or support through additional tools or resources or an investment in my own learning and development? I think the key with understanding burnout is really carefully looking at What are the stress points that I'm experiencing? And how can I address those? And if I, and recognizing I may not have the capacity to address them individually, I may need colleagues and supervisors to address them or provide some additional perspective on how to address them as well.
And you mentioned jobs. The job market for budding engineers has always been a little tough. They're in great demand, but there's a limited number of positions. Are the students aware of this? How do they? How do you tell them? How do you tell them going forward on how best to find their niche in the jobs that they're looking for?
Sure. Yeah, great question. Well, in the ideal sense, the planning for this starts very early in their time at the university. I like to have conversations with students as early as in their first semester, and students may look at me like, I just got here. I am still learning my way around campus and this community. What should I be meeting with career services for? And I say, there are a number of things that you can be mindful of and aware of as you move through your time at the university that will make you a more competitive and appealing candidate for employment. And that doesn't mean you need to know exactly what position you want to be in or what organization or where you want, whether you want to work on automotive systems or sensors or other types of technologies. It means you need to be active in getting involved in the classroom and outside of the classroom, building those experiences. You know, your question, as I hear it, is one, John, of how do I stand out among a competitive field of applicants? And it's having some experiences that have drawn out the technical skills, given me a base to apply those technical skills, but also given me a base to apply those core, soft, essential skills of communication, leadership, teamwork, working with people with different personalities, values, beliefs, identities, characteristics, and qualities, and my capacity to learn. When I reach an obstacle, what do I do next? How do I learn? And I've had conversations with employers that say the most essential quality an engineer can bring into our workplace is really this framework for approaching problems from a learning mindset and be resourceful in generating their own learning or learning alongside colleagues. So it's that idea of when you reach challenges, how do you respond? And students are aware that it's a competitive market. They may come to me initially with a long wish list of specific criteria for their future employer. I would like this to be at the beach in a warm climate, and I'd like it to work on this kind of topic or engineering area. Then there's a negotiation process as they realize, wow, there are some incredible opportunities in places I didn't initially think of geographically being located. And there's some fantastic work being done. I teach students several forms of job searching. One is responding to opportunities that are advertised through our campus and university career centers, but also proactively taking the search to employers. If you want to be involved in a certain industry or a certain employer, how do you reach out? How do you make contact? How do you begin the formation of a relationship with someone in that organization that is in that engineering realm and could give you insight into skills, qualities, and experiences they're looking for? And we do that in the first and second year of a student's time at the university. You know, we're really giving them access, really empowering them and giving them access to drive their own career forward. And my hope and belief is always that if students learn these skills of reflecting on their experiences, identifying the values, skills, abilities that are present in those experiences and practice communicating it, this is a set of tools and techniques that will help them navigate professional opportunities throughout their lives. Because it may not be long after they graduate that they are invited to consider a leadership role or a position outside of the country or a position working on a different project than the one they may have had their sights set on when they graduated. Students need a framework for gathering information, identifying options, and making decisions that align with their personal and professional values.
Well, we're going to have to leave the conversation here for now, Matt. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today. And thanks to everyone for listening also. My name again is John Kozlowatz. Please go to your favorite podcast app to listen to other ASME TechCasts on a variety of engineering issues. Thanks again.